successful, man. Beautiful, baby. Feel me? Feel me?
I won't stop, can't be moved, and I don't lose.
Welcome, everybody, to the Backstretch Podcast. I'm Zoe. He is Jeff. And Jeff, we've got a big week of racing ahead of us. What are you looking forward to the most?
Listening to the entire track of that opening music that
we put
on.
Yeah, you like that, don't you?
That's new. Usually we just kind of just dive right in, but we gave ourselves a little bit of a music intro.
Many thanks to Steve Scheidler for that one.
That's what I was actually looking forward to, but now that that's out of the way.
We'll dance to that after the podcast.
Okay, good enough. Good racing this week. Obviously, we've got huge program, which they're drawing today. I haven't actually seen all of the races, but 12-race program at Gulfstream Park on Pegasus World Cup Day, and the World Cup and the World Cup Turf have already been drawn. They don't have the PPs out, but we have the entries, and so I'm looking forward to that. Oaklawn Park is opening up. I like gambling down there. That's good. Got a good stake race to kick things off. The Smarty Jones, as the 3-year-old rush to the Derby, is in full force. Good racing here at Santa Anita as well. We'll have Friday this week for our first day of the weekend, a week for racing, so that we'll look forward to that. They've drawn entries for that day. And everything else that's going around, that's going to be interesting. So we are going to be busy today, but actually the focus really should be on the Pegasus World Cup and the World Cup Turf. That's what we're here to talk about, and that's what we'll talk about first.
Well, let's talk about both fields. Both attracted two fields of 12, not only for the Pegasus World Cup Dirt, also the Pegasus World Cup Turf. And I think it really shows us how times are beginning to change, because it was announced late that all these horses would be running medication-free. Of course, the race is sponsored by Run Happy. He ran medication-free as well. And it hasn't scared anybody off, which I think is a fabulous thing.
You know, I hadn't really thought about that, but now that you bring it up, it is. It's really good. Maybe this transition from medication to no medication, which I am totally 100% for, is going to be a good thing. And we'll just have to see if any of these horses are impacted by the lack of medication. It's good.
It's optics more than anything. I mean, in 2020, it was announced last year that two-year-olds will run without Lasix here on the West Coast. So it's more of an optical thing. I don't want to get into it. Do I agree or disagree? That you cannot. You've just got to wipe the slate clean. We're looking for optics, and we're looking for medication-free racing.
Well, I think optics is important, because optics is reality.
Outside looking in, they don't understand.
I understand that they don't understand, but I do think that we've been breeding medicated horses to medicated horses for the last 40 years or more, and I don't think it's helped the breed any. One of the reasons, and of course Run Happy, the sponsor, he ran medication free, and I think that is what they're doing with him and advertising him and promoting him. I think that's very good, because I've seen horses go to stud that you know were bad bleeders or unsound, and
absolutely,
you know, they don't necessarily improve the breed in any way. So I think it's going to take a while for this whole thing to kick in. Maybe, I don't know, it could take 20, 30 years before you see the full result of breeding non-medicated horses and making the breed tougher. But you got to start sometime, and might as well be now.
All right, well, let's talk about the field. A field of 12 for the Pegasus World Cup Dirt, sponsored by Run Happy. True Timber draws the outside. Bodhi Express draws the outside. As always, you can go to xbtv.com for all your Pegasus World Cup needs. Winners, losers. John Sadler came in with two places left. He was late to the party this morning right here at Santa Anita. The 6 was left and the 12 was left, and he was starting to sweat when they drew that number.
I don't think you want the 12, and that's what Bodhi Express got stuck with. Higher Power drew number 6 right alongside Omaha Beach. And in looking at the entries, and I'll go over it real quick in case you haven't seen it. True Timber at 20-1. This is from the rail out. Two Trimber at 20-1, Tax at 12-1, Diamond Oops at 20-1, Seeking the Soul at 30-1, Number 5, Omaha Beach at 7-5, the morning line favorite. Higher Power, 6-1 is next, and War Story at 30-1, Mr. Freeze at 30-1, Spun to Run, who beat Omaha Beach in the Breeders' Cup Mile, Dirt Mile, he's number 9 at 7-2. Mucho Gusto, kind of a late entry at 9-2 for Bob Baffert. Tenfold at number 11 at 30-1, and then Bodhi Express at 30-1 to round it out. You couldn't get drawn any better, I wouldn't think, than Omaha Beach, the favorite.
Absolutely. I mean, drawn post position number five, he does have all the speed to the outside of him. He's going to have to break well. Higher Power, they've been working with him after a couple of stumbles leaving the gate for him to get him in a solid position. Mucho Gusto, according to Bob Baffert, has one way to go. I was surprised at his short odds of 9-2. I think that's the fact that you have Ortiz taking off of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Spun to Run. To ride Mucho Gusto, was this a surprise to you?
I actually thought he should have gone all along. I was kind of wondering why they weren't being considered, that is, Mucho Gusto, because he's a very, very good horse. He was given a very tough campaign last year and kind of paid the price late, but he's fresh now, he's training well. On his best day, is he as good as Omaha Beach? Probably not. But if you look at the morning line here, there are really only four horses that are considered to be contenders. Omaha Beach at 7-5, Spun to Run at 7-2, Mucho Gusto at 9-2, and Higher Power at 6. Everybody else is double digits. So if you're the fourth choice, why not take a shot when you're talking about this
money? But to answer my question, is it a surprise that Ortiz takes off the Dirt Mile winner that beat Omaha Beach, that Spun to Run, to ride for Bob Mucho Gusto?
Well, it's a surprise. Yes, it's a surprise. But to me, I mean, you probably have a little bit more insight than I do on that. So why don't you tell me the mechanism behind that switch?
Well, in speaking to Bob this morning, and you can find the interview on XBTV a little bit later, Bob simply said he called Ortiz's agent and said he was planning on going in the one-turn mile race for Mucho Gusto as a prep for the $20 million Saudi Cup in Saudi Arabia. And then he's like, well, if I'm going down there, why don't I just, you don't have to pay to enter, why don't I just take a swing? So he said he was going to run him in here with the proviso that if he rode him there, he would go on to Saudi.
Right.
And to his surprise, they said, okay, well, let's do that. I don't know if that's a slight on Spun to Run, whether maybe he's better at a mile than a mile and an eighth. Of course, this is medication-free as well. I'm not sure if that has anything to play into it. But I do know that Bob is saying he's got a fresh horse, he's doing well, he's got a gate work that you can watch on XBTV that was excellent with Flavien Prat aboard him. And one thing about Mucho Gusto, he ships well, and boy, if you ever wanted to buy a horse's heart, just a horse that tries his guts out every single time they run him, him.
The thing about Mucho Gusto, though, is Bob always treated him as a second stringer. And what I mean by that is these secondary races that are good races, but they're not the best, he would ship them around running in these races trying to pick them off because he never really thought he was good enough to be the top dog in the barn. But yeah, I mean, he's a good horse. He really is. Now, is he good enough to beat Omaha Beach? I don't know, but for that kind of money, you take a shot. Now, if you're riding Omaha Beach and you're Mike Smith and you're number five and all the pace is drawn outside and you remember what happened in the Breeders' Cup Mile when he got way too far back and had too much to do, how do you ride Omaha Beach?
Like Arrogate.
Put him on the lead or try to?
Go. Don't give anything up. You break, you stay true to your five. I can just imagine Mike breaking, not dropping down, going straight and making all the speed behind him go around him. Staying in the five hole around the turn, that's legal. You can do that. And I can see Mike doing that, parking everybody wide. And then if they really want to go, they can cut over and he can just get in a stalking position.
Is there a possibility that there a very fast-paced speed duel develops, setting things up for a long shot? Not so much of a long shot, but Higher Power. What about his chances from behind?
He's going to be forwardly placed as well. I think we're going to see a fast pace up front with 1, 2, 3, 4 being the shortest spots on the board. Bodie Express is drawn on the outside. He's got some fast works. He's a fast horse.
He's got to go, doesn't he?
Be unpredictable. He is going to go. Mucho Gusto is going to go. This is going to be a fastly run race. It's going to be pace makes the race. And maybe Omaha Beach and Higher Power will not be on the lead, but they will be close. And they will most likely be in the clear.
I'm looking for a deep closer as a long shot. I'm not really finding
one. Seeking the soul. Maybe it's going to be his day in the sun.
Is he still running? I guess he is. All right. So that's going to be Saturday. It actually goes as the 12th race on the 12-race program. So that's good. Before, the 11th race is the Pegasus World Cup Turf.
All right, I'm going to read these off for you, Siegel.
You go ahead.
From inside to outside, post position number one, Zulu Alpha, 12 to 1. Arklo, 6 to 1. Without Parole, 4 to 1. He's a very good horse. Saddler's Joy, 8 to 1. Yes, he's still around. Channel Cat, 10 to 1. Instilled Regard, 10 to 1. Admission Office, 30 to 1. Henley's Joy, 30 to 1. Probably should be shorter. Next Share is also 30 to 1. He can upset Moforza, 5 to 1. Sacred Life, 12 to 1. And last year's second place finisher to Bricks and Mortar, Magic One, gets on a plane again. Odds are 7 to 2 on her.
I mean, she has been all over the world. I mean, when
Isn't
last
she
seen,
fabulous.
When last seen, I think she was second in a big race at Hong Kong in December. Before that, she ran a couple of times, or at least once. I don't know. I don't have her PPs in front of me, but I know she was down in Australia, wasn't she? Before that, because she was actually second in this race last year.
Correct.
To Bricks and Mortar. So. But she's drawn way out there in the 12 hole. Now, this is a 1 3/16. So this is a pretty good run to the clubhouse.
Okay.
It really shouldn't be that bad, right?
And she's proven to run well without Lasix.
Right.
Although when she comes over here, she does get Lasix like all of Aidan O'Brien's do. And why not? She's 7 to 2. She's a good filly. One thing that the Euros are very good at is saving ground. So I do not expect her to be swung wide at any point of the race.
Morning line favorite at 4 to 1 is Without Parole.
No, Magic Wand, 7 to 2.
Oh, you're right. I beg your pardon. You're right. You're correct. 7 to 2, Magic Wand. Second choice is 4 to 1 at Without Parole with Frankie coming over to
if
ride.
If you can get that, take it. Because he's a very, very good horse. And I think Chad Brown has taken his time getting to know him.
I totally agree. If I had to pick one, it would be him. How does Moforza fit with these? Chackling older horses really has gotten good. Joel Rosario rides at 5 to 1 out here in California. Took forever to break his maiden and hasn't lost since. Does he match up with these?
I'll tell you one thing that matches up is this. Listen.
Like
he likes to hear his feet rattle, and he's going to get that at Gulfstream. He got it here at Santa Anita. He's a very good horse, and you can place him just about anywhere.
Well, I can't wait for the entries to be drawn as we record this. They have not been released yet, and
for the rest of the card.
For the rest of the card, yeah, because it's going to be a one for the ages type of card, probably very similar to what you'll see on Florida Derby Day. And who doesn't love these big days? They pile all the good stuff on these good days. And so we're going to look forward to that. And we will be handicapping that for XBTV.com and ExpressBet and all the other good websites that I am a part of.
Super Saturday. Okay, yeah. We mentioned Triple Crown. We mentioned Kentucky Derby. Early nominations due January the 25th. $600. Get it now. Otherwise, it'll be a lot more expensive.
If you've got a three-year-old that is even remotely breathing, you can afford $600, right?
And the late nomination, which requires a payment of $6,000, will open after Sunday the 26th.
I know, but for $600, I mean, if you have a horse... Now, it's not my money. but really, I mean, it's not that expensive because that gets you in all three races, right?
Correct.
All right, so what's the big deal? So if you got a three-year-old, why not dream a little dream and put your horse in? Anyway, nominations close on Saturday. I'm sure that if you've got a Derby horse or one that you think might be a Derby horse or a Triple Crown horse, you are aware of that.
26th, that will be Sunday.
Yeah. Now, we've got...
Top 10.
We've got our top 10. Now, you said something last week that I kind of laughed at, even though I thought you were probably not telling the truth, but thought you were going to be accurate. I had made a top 8 actually last year, and last week I'm still with the 8. And you said, it's probably going to change next week because some horse is going to come out of nowhere and you're going to put him number one. And what I had done last week is I had actually thrown in a horse named Ancient Warrior who had one start last November, I think it was, for Jerry Hollendorfer. He won his debut. And I threw him in even though nobody's even remotely aware of him. But he's actually going to run, I believe, somewhere right now in the fairgrounds or somewhere.
I think so, yes.
Okay. So, I mentioned I was putting him in my top 8 and you said I was going to come up with somebody new. And I have.
And you have. So last week's number 8, just so everybody, last week's number 1, everybody knows, was Authentic.
Right.
Off of that kind of zigzaggy win here at Santa Anita.
Well, he is no longer number 1. But it's not because of anything he did or didn't do. But we saw a colt out here that I think brought back memories for me. Now, I'm not sure whether I can say he's got the same potential, but he's not bad. His name is Nadal. And he is a blame colt who won his debut last weekend here at Santa Anita. I don't know if you've heard about him or actually saw him in the video. He earned a 98 buyer number for Bob Baffert. He won the race by almost four lengths, beating a colt named Exalted and Lane Way finishing third. Two exceptional prospects in their own right. They were all first-time starters. And Nadal broke from the rail, which is not really where you want to be going 6.5 on this racetrack. Didn't break all that sharply, Zoe. Rushed up, made the lead, took heat, set fast fractions, drew off, won by four, earned a 98 buyer number, and he's not even bred to sprint. My impressions of Nadal is he could be a superstar. Are you as equally impressed?
Absolutely. I mean, he looked really, really good. Stopping the clock and doing it pretty easily in 1:15 and 4. He went three quarters in 1:09 and 2. Interestingly enough, JC Diaz was aboard him, not Drayden, not Mike Smith, but young Diaz aboard this three-year-old colt by Blame, who was a $700,000 two-year-old at the March sale last year. And I got a chance to speak to Bob this morning about Nadal because we had a couple of works on him last year, June of last year, and he was training over at Los Alamitos. Right. And I simply interviewed Bob this morning. You can catch it on XBTV and said, hey, what gives? Why did it take him so long to get to the races? Mm-hmm. He was entered, and he was coming over to Santa Anita to run, and he got injured in the horse van that was bringing him over. He said he managed to get a hind leg, not a front leg, a hind leg over the partition. It was so bad, he said, quote Bob Baffert, you can watch the interview, he almost broke his leg.
Well, he thought he might have broken his leg, yeah.
Exactly. So he was off all that time recovering, and he was very, very impressed, has always thought highly of him. I said, well, echoes of perhaps Justify here, mm-hmm. Bob? And he said, well, you know, it's hard to compare a maiden winner to two Triple Crown winners, but he said he's a good horse, and he intimated that perhaps he might make his next start out of town, perhaps Oaklawn Park, going two turns, because he said it's not what they do in the first start, it's what they do in the second. Yeah. So very high hopes for Nadal.
Well, let me mention about Nadal. We talk about comparing him to Justify. I think, if memory serves, I didn't look this up, but I think Justify earned maybe a 101 buyer first time out. I'm not sure about that, but it was very close to this. One thing I am sure is that when Justify won his debut, and he was such a magnificent horse, and he did it the way you want him to do it, but he didn't have to run against anybody nearly as good as what I think Nadal beat. I think you're going to hear a lot from Exalted. That's a colt that was trained to, you know, they were kind of giving him a race. They didn't want to crank him up, and he was kind of be a route horse. Lane Way, a very expensive Richard Mandela colt, actually tried to win the race, which is why he ended up third, because he gave it everything he could from the top of the stretch and then kind of paid the price late. But I think both those colts are exceptional. But let's talk about Nadal, because they, whoever they are.
George Bolton, right. Arthur Hoyou, and Lipman.
I'm not sure who actually picked the horse out for him, but I'll give credit to the agent if you know who it is. If not, I don't think it was Bob. I don't think he went down there. But anyway, $700,000 is a lot of money for a Blame. Let's face it. Now, I like Blame. He stands for like 25. I mean, you know, you don't expect to have to pay that kind of money for a colt by Blame. He's out of a mare named Ascending Angel, a pulpit mare, the second foal of a mare who ran 12 times, never won, ended up her career finishing off the board in a maiden race at Tampa Bay. And yet, she has come up with maybe the most exciting three-year-old we've seen this year. The family is all stamina. Second Dam, Pleasant Colony, a Derby winner. Third Dam, Meteor Stage, by Stage Giorgiani, who was a Belmont winner.
Second Dam, Solo Colony, a sister to Pleasant Stage.
Right. Pleasant Stage, obviously a very top filly, a Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of quality and class and stamina in the family. And, of course, no one expects Blame to get a fast horse. If they're going to be any good, they'd be going long. So you've seen this colt. Did you look at him and think he would be that fast and that precocious?
No, I did not. But this is a horse who's been busting to run for quite some time, 6.5 furlongs. Hey, Bob could get me to run a good time in 6 furlongs
if he trained me. But here's the thing is we've seen a lot of these horses that Bob's had over the years, and a lot of them debut early, and they look fast, and they are fast. And
you don't see them again.
Maybe a horse like Eight Rings would be an example of that. But you always in the back of your mind thinking, all right, he's going to be good up to maybe a mile, and then he'll be found out. I don't get that impression with this colt. I think the fact that he was able to win sprinting just bodes incredibly promising future for him because he's not even supposed to sprint.
Absolutely, because he's by a Breeders' Cup Classic winner, Blame, out of a pulpit mare. So if this horse can't go two turns, I don't know who can.
All right, so he's number one. I know I'm stepping out of stepping out here, grandstanding a little bit. I want to be the first on my block to put him number one. And if he doesn't turn out to be any good, no one will remember anyway, right?
We'll find someone else next
week. All right. No, I don't think so. I'll find something else to throw in, but I don't know what he's taken. I want to see the Colton ones better first time out than Nadal.
Okay, so you have
All right, so he's number one. All right, now Bob's got number one and two now because I also have Authentic, who was number one. He's now number two. He was very, very green in winning the Sham, but did like a nice colt, completely different looking type of colt. Authentic is more of a long, athletic, light frame type of horse, and Nadal is more of a block. You know, I mean, he's built like you know what it. All right, Dennis Momin is number three. Dennis's Momin, I don't know. I mean, do I have him too high? Is he going to be ready? What's the deal with him?
He actually saw some video, thanks to Brittany Erton, of him coming off the track with Tammy Fox aboard him.
Okay.
And he looks good. He's always been a very, very good-looking horse. We talked about him last week, and I said that he was your typical two-year-old type. But I hadn't seen him as a three-year-old, and he looks like he's grown a little bit, although, you know, my dog would look big with Tammy Fox aboard him, So it's really hard to gauge. Hopefully he's grown up a little bit, and we look to see him on the work tab quite soon.
I have him number three. I wonder if I've overrated him, though, only because I look at the form, and I notice that when he won the Iroquois, which is, you know, and he broke his maiden, and he beat nobody, and then he comes back and wins the Iroquois, beating Scabbard, who was off the board last week down in Fairgrounds, and I wonder if his form is held. And, you know, a lot of times you look at a horse and you're impressed, and then you realize, you know, he really hasn't beaten anybody. And he, you know, am I overrating him, or do you think I still have him where he should be?
I think he has to prove you otherwise.
Yeah.
Because we don't really have anything to base it on. He's got to work. He's got to run. I mean, if you're going, I don't know, per se. I would like to personally see him in person, which hopefully I'll get to do soon.
Okay. Tis the Law is now number four. I have him number four. He was beaten in Kentucky Jockey Club with a lot of trouble. The reason why I like him, I love his work pattern shows me that they're cranking him up. He's healthy, he's sound, he's making progress. He worked 101 and change recently. I might have even worked since then. So I think he's healthy, and I think he's supposed to run now in the...
He is going to run in the Holy Bull.
Holy Bull, which is a week from Saturday, right?
Which offers 10-4-2-1 right. Kentucky Derby qualifying points. And the good news is that I like, he works at Gulfstream Park. Now, he's based... at Palm Meadows.
Correct.
And they shipped him over there to get a feel of the track. They shipped his jockey in, Manny Franco, to get a feel of him on the track.
Right.
And I like that. That's your trainer covering all the bases, which I think is important this time of the year.
I do too. So anyway, he's number four, too, is the Law. Independence Hall had a workout at Tampa Bay the other day. He's number five on my list, winner of the Jerome. Right now, we're not sure where he's going to come back. It could be the Sam F. Davis. They might wait after that. We've talked about him at length the last couple of weeks. So impressive winning the Nashua. Not quite as impressive winning the Jerome. I think what they're trying to do here is take the path of least resistance, which is actually not unwise. I would do the same thing. So let's hopefully he'll step forward and show his best stuff next time out. Storm the Court, who is training well, very well. He's number six, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner, and the likely winner of the Eclipse Award tomorrow night when the Eclipse Award ceremony is being held.
Good luck to all.
And he is supposed to run in the San Vicente, which makes sense. 7/8 of a mile. We know he can sprint.
Good prep.
A good starting point out for him. So everything is spot on for Storm the Court. 1,000 Words, number seven. I did not like his work before, but he worked better last time, so maybe he's coming around. Bob's got three in the top eight. What else is new? You mentioned that he might put a few of these on the road. Now, traditionally, what Bob does is Now, not always, because he put American Pharoah on the road as well. But usually he keeps the best one home. But I don't know whether he's going to do that or not. One thing that I do think is that the fact that Nadal was able to win on this track, on this main track, and you know it's deep, and a lot of horses don't like it. We know he likes it. And you can always get weather. I'm thinking, I know what he's saying now, but I have a hunch he's going to keep him here, just like he did Justify.
Well, I mean... He obviously doesn't ship that well. If he got into trouble shipping over for his very first
if you can't make a van ride, what do you want to put it?
From LaSalle.
Right, exactly. So,
I don't know. I mean, Bob has a penchant for running these horses at Oaklawn. And
he'll run something there.
One of the reasons that he does that, he likes to test the horse and see how they ship.
Right.
Now, obviously, if you're life and death and you need the points, you don't want to test it on the road. Just in case they don't, you know you've got a good horse. So
right.
Sometimes he'll put them on the road just to give them a test and see how horses ship.
Fair enough. But, you know, if they ship badly, it's not going to stop him from going to the Kentucky Derby. Oh, what he might do, though, is get him there earlier. That's the only thing. All right, so he's number 7,000 words. I'm not sold on him, but he's 2 for 2. He's a grade 2 winner. He's a pioneer of the Nile. There's nothing on paper that you can dislike about him. I just want to see how really good he is. And then we'll wrap it up with, there's a new one here. Governor Morris, I'm putting him on the list. Now, this is a colt I was very impressed with, one of those constitutions. And won his first start very impressively, was in the parking lot in his next start in the Breeders' Futurity, wound up second to Maxfield, who I do not have on this list, and I'll tell you why in a second. The reason why I have Governor Morris on the list here, trained by Todd Pletcher, he is training very well at Palm Beach Downs. He has gotten started. He's healthy. They gave him the winner off, which was fine. Broke his maiden first time on at Saratoga in the slot by 9, which I like because that means he can handle an off track if that comes up. Whereas the horse that beat him is Maxfield, who I love. I just don't know where he's at in terms of his training, Zoe. I mean, when you start going into February and you haven't had a breeze yet, I get a little nervous.
He's galloping, though, and the one thing that Brendan Walsh is very good is getting a good foundation under them. So this horse will have some strong gallops. And if you get a good foundation in the gallops, 2-minute licks don't show up, strong gallops don't show up on the work tab. Sometimes horses will get ready quicker than you think.
Well, that's the whole thing. Once he makes his first breeze, records his first breeze, and I get a feel as to where Maxfield is, he will certainly rejoin the top eight because he, to me, he's one of the top 3 or 4 horses in the crop. I just dropped him because I'm just not sure where he's at, and I don't think his connections are going to rush him to get to the Derby if they have to. So, good horse. Ancient Wire, who made his cameo last week at number 8, he's now off the list, but he's got a chance to jump back on for Jerry Hollendorfer when he makes his second start of his career in a couple of weeks, probably at Fairgrounds. So, it's a good group. Nadal is the newcomer, the new shooter who waltzed from nowhere all the way up to number 1, and Bob Baffert's done this before. The Apollo rule be damned. I like Nadal. I love his pedigree, and I loved his first race. He is number 1 on my list.
All right, I'll tell you what Bob Baffert's not doing. He's not running in the Smarty Jones at Oaklawn Park on Friday. Opening day for Oaklawn Park. They're expecting a super winter meet there, which will, of course, run through May this year for the very first time. The Smarty Jones is drawn as race number 8, going a 2-turn mile, purse of 150,000. And more importantly, Kentucky Derby points to the winner, the second place, third place, and fourth place. It is a field of 9, and Mr. Asmussen has 4.
He's the Baffert of Oaklawn, right?
He is.
The only difference is he just runs them all in the same race. He doesn't care. He's got I believe this is the morning line favorite, 5-2 Silver Prospector.
Correct.
Okay, this is a colt that I don't have in my top 8. He's
bites. Yet.
But I mean, his form isn't bad. He broke his maiden, 3rd in the Street Sense at Churchill Downs. Always nice to have a race over Churchill Downs. Then was a 7-1 upset winner over a sloppy track
at Churchill Downs
in the Kentucky Jockey Club, beating Tis the Law. But I'm not quite a believer in him quite yet.
So he beat Tis the Law, yet he's not in your top 10.
Because he didn't beat Tis the Law. Tis the Law beat himself.
Okay.
I mean, that was not the best that Tis the Law can run. I have a hunch it was the best Silver Prospector could run. So anyway, he's 5-2. Going down the list of other possibles, Shoplifted. Now, Shoplifted won a race called the Springboard Mile. That was at Remington Park, December 15th. And he actually was well beaten in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So that kind of helps that form out a little bit. I'm not sure how good Shoplifted is. Before that, he was well beaten in the American Pharoah. So two really below par races, Howard here at Santa Anita. You could make a case maybe he didn't like the track. His form prior to that was okay. He was second, a distant second in the hopeful after breaking his maiden. Not sure how good he is, but yeah, he's 3-1. And 9-2 on the colt that I like, and that's Three Technique. Now here's a colt by Mr. Speaker, who in memory serves was more of a grass horse than anything else. But man, was he impressive. He won a maiden race at late August at Saratoga, going 7/8 of a mile, came from out of it, won by 5, then went to Aqueduct and won a 7/8 race, won that race by 4. He's been favored in every one of his starts. Apparently, he touts himself in the morning for Jeremiah Engelhart. Drew the 9-hole, not the best place to be at Oaklawn Park, but if he's good enough, he'll overcome it. That, to me, is the most intriguing colt. Now, I know he was supposed to run after his last race and came up with an issue, so it might have been the Remsen, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, he's back training very well at Oaklawn Park. To me, of all the horses in this race, though, I think 3 Technique has the most upside.
You know, if I could get 9-2 on him right now, Siegel, I most certainly would.
He's good, isn't he?
Yeah, I like him. I watched him train this past summer at Saratoga. Mm-hmm. He's a big, beautiful-looking colt. He's only going to get better as he goes longer. It will be his first run around 2 turns. He'll be forwardly placed. I like the fact that Irad Ortiz is sticking with him and flying in to Oaklawn Park to ride him in the Smarty Jones. I think he's the horse to beat. Silver Prospector has to be respected. Numbers-wise, he's run the fastest number of any horse in this race. He's done it around 2 turns. He's done it in the slop. He's done it on a fast main track. I think he's a good horse. He's by declaration of war. Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought you're going to get one on the road to the Kentucky Derby by declaration of war? Very, very good young sire by Warfront. They only paid $190,000 for him, and he looks like a bargain.
Declaration of War, by the way, is now in Japan. He's been moved around a lot. I think he was a really top-class horse, and they had high hopes for him to be what he hasn't been able to be yet. But he's a good horse. He's good enough to get it. I mean, any horse can get a good horse. And I'll see how good Silver Prospector is. I'm not sold on him yet, but if he wins the Smarty Jones and he does it in style, then then I'll give him a little bit more respect, perhaps, than I'm giving him right now. All right, that race goes as the 8th race on Friday, the featured race, opening day at Oaklawn Park.
And Siegel, I think that'll do it for us.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I've got handicapping to do. Can't wait for the entries to come out, as I mentioned, for Saturday's glorious program at Gulfstream Park, Pegasus World Cup Day, and the turf and all the other good races on the undercard. So
don't forget, we're racing here at the Great Race Place as well, Siegel. Some good racing here.
Absolutely. I mean, I mentioned Friday, we'll get back in action, and we draw a Saturday for today. It's getting busy.
I like it.
All right.
I like it. All right, we like it. For Jeff Siegel, I'm Zoe Cablin. We'll see you next week.